Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you November 1st, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me here on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Hope everybody had a decent Halloween with their family if they're celebrating that. And if you're celebrating Samhain, good for you. That would be taking place today on November 1st. The Christians have taken that and made it into All Hallows Day, and down in Mexico, you've got Day of the Dead. Interesting timing with Facebook coming out and changing the name of the Facebook Corporation to Meta, which is kind of their umbrella corporation, kind of like how Google formed Alphabet, when Meta means, I guess, death in Hebrew. So that just seems to be more than a coincidence that Facebook renames itself to mean death right before Halloween, especially with all the stuff that was going on with Facebook and the scrutiny and the whistleblower and all the rest, all of it manufactured to get us to think that the big problem with Facebook is that they're not censoring enough. Anyway, guys, please do check out heathenherbs.com and go on over to renegadetribune.com. I've got a lot for you here today. And we're going to start here with COVID. The big news is that the FDA has approved the Pfizer COVID vaccine for children aged 5 to 11. So they're going to be injecting the little ones now. And Albert Bourla, the Jewish CEO of Pfizer, I'm sure is absolutely ecstatic because he wants to help the children, right? It doesn't have anything to do with permanently disabling them and killing some of them, inducing myocarditis and all sorts of other things. It doesn't have to do with that and making an obscene profit. It's that he really wants to help everybody. These Jewish people are really just philanthropists at heart. Even if they're raking in lots and lots of shekels, it's really because they just care so much. So we should really thank Albert Bourla for his role in saving us all from COVID. Here's a U.S. News article. The U.S., this is on Friday, so right before Halloween, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Friday approved the emergency use of a smaller dose of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine for children ages 5 to 11, paving the way for 28 million kids across the country to get their shots. These youngest Americans can now receive one-third of the adult dose with two injections given 3 weeks apart. If the U.S. CDC signs off on the approval after its advisory panel meets Tuesday, young children could start getting shots as early as Wednesday. Wow, that's just so awesome. Now, how did they come to this recommendation that they, should all get shot up? Well, it's actually, it's kind of like a gut feeling. Remember we heard about the gut feeling recently about the boosters? Well, this Jew, Dr. Eric Rubin, who was on the FDA panel that backed the Pfizer shot for kids before the FDA came out and said, yep, we approve it. He said, we're never going to learn about how safe this vaccine is unless we start giving it. So, we're going to learn about how safe it is once, all these children are injected. Then we'll find out if it's safe or not. Thanks, Dr. Eric Rubin. Really, just such a mensch. This is so sick. We're going to see so much damage being done here. Even if it doesn't kill a lot of them, the permanent damage is going to be incredible. And who ends up paying for it? I've seen some stories of these mothers of children who, you know, this was the 12 pluses, of these children who got myocarditis, and now they're being hit with massive hospital bills. Nobody's paying for this. It's the parents who have to pay for it. And even if they have insurance, they're having to pay a huge amount out of pocket. This is just funneling so much money to the medical mafia. It's just sickening. Absolutely sickening. And even as a parent, if you don't want your child to get the vaccine, well, guess what? It doesn't really matter because a child who was poisoned with this vaccine is suing. We'll see where that ends up. Oops, it was just an accident, but it's fine because the child should have gotten it anyway. In other parts of the world, it seems like the parents don't even need to consent whatsoever. Like up in Canada when they were offering free ice cream for children who went and got their shots. This world is so, so very messed up right now, and I would just love to see it brought back to health. But in order to do that, we need to remove the parasite that has been feeding off the body politic, if you will. Here's a story coming out of The Hill. What an admission this is, that the vaccinated are just as likely to spread the Delta variant within household as unvaccinated. So why are they injecting children then? Why are they injecting children? Supposedly they're injecting children because, you know, well, it's not necessarily that the children are going to get really sick and die because they're not nearly as affected as old immunocompromised people, but we just don't want them to spread it to adults. So we're going to have the children take one for the team because we want to keep the adults safe, right? The teachers and everything, all the people who have to interact with these children. We want to keep them safe. What does it matter? I guess everybody's just spreading this virus equally. At least that's what this new study is saying. People have received
COVID-19 vaccinations are able to spread the Delta variant despite their vaccination status just as easily as unvaccinated individuals, a new study published on Friday shows. According to the study published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal, people who contracted COVID-19 had a similar viral load regardless of if they have been vaccinated. The study further found that 25% of vaccinated household contacts contracted COVID-19, while 38% of unvaccinated individuals were diagnosed with the disease. Researchers examined 621 UK symptomatic participants over a year.
I was going to read that story for you, but hey, The Hill just decided to play the video anyway. Head of the
U.S. nuclear watchdogs.
Oh. It auto-played the next one, too. No thank you. Anyway, let's move on. They're enforcing this around the world still. It doesn't matter what data comes out about how many people are dying after being vaccinated, how the VAERS system is completely backlogged at this point. Even though it's alarming enough, it's backlogged. So a bunch of the data that should be in there is not even in there, just showing how deadly this thing is. Over there in Denmark, we have the Danish health minister threatening to shut down society if more people don't get vaccinated. Yep, it's just absolutely sick. Apparently, over 75% of the population is fully vaccinated. But if they don't get even more people vaccinated, they're just going to shut the whole country down. It's just crazy. Just crazy. Yeah, Martin Geirsten said he's going to shut down society if more Danes don't get vaxxed up. Okay, let's see. Putin's been making some statements about the vaccine, just thinks it's absolutely great, and that they're going to need more vaccines. It was funny watching Andrew Anglin continue to try to make sense of Putin's shilling, despite, you know, Putin coming out and endorsing the vaccine. Andrew's still on board with Pootie Poot, because, you know, he's just so great. He uses this meme of Obi-Wan looking like he's been betrayed by Anakin, you know, from one of those Star Wars movies. Like, what's happened to you, Pootie Poot? I just don't understand. Pootie Poot's been a Jew the whole time. I've been telling everybody within the right wing that this is not our ally, but they just still can't seem to get it. And even though Pootie Poot comes out in favor of endless vaccines, they're just still going to make excuses for him. Just like they did with Trump and the 6D chess. So, Putin said that it is crucial for the WHO to speed up the process of pre-qualification of new vaccines and therapeutics, i.e. the evaluation of their quality, safety, and efficacy. So he's saying the WHO needs to speed things up. We need not just Trump's warp speed, but we need, I guess, just insane speed, ludicrous speed, if you will, if you've ever seen Spaceballs. He said, considering that this virus continues to mutate, we should implement mechanisms for systemic and timely update of vaccines. We just need updates of these vaccines. And you just, come on, 6 months? That's a little too long. We need them like basically every month with new updates. Whatever code China sends us, you know, China just sends us the code and we just make these vaccines, as that woman admitted. We should just get new code from China every month. And then we can just inject that code into our body with the mRNA technology. This is just amazing. The future is great. Trust the science. Trust the vaccines. Trust the boosters. I mean, things are just looking great here. So a lot of people don't want to get the vaccine. Of course, they realize what's going on. They can see through the censorship and actually hear stories of people who have been murdered by injection, people who have been maimed by injection. And so you've got all these different places, fire departments just completely closed down in New York City, water treatment plants at some places, crucial infrastructure just basically being shut down. You've got police, at 50% in some places, I guess, because you know, they don't want to take the vaccines, and then these politicians aren't going to give them exemptions. Even though we're in the midst of a massive BLM crime wave still, huge murder wave going on, they don't want the police to be operating. This seems to be a deliberate plan to just shut down different sectors of society, just the way that they did by shutting down the supply chain and shutting down businesses. This is what they're intending. It kind of reminds me of the Cloward-Piven strategy to just radically transform the country by overwhelming all of the social services with a massive influx of illegal immigrants. And so we saw Southwest grounding a bunch of flights. Now American Airlines has grounded over 2,000 flights over the past couple days. So this is just the beginning, I think. And we're going to head towards a more dystopian future where some of these nurses who are no longer employed, of course, we've heard about they're going to be replaced by the National Guard and they'll be replaced by immigrants. But we're also seeing potentially, let's say, maybe robots fill in some of these positions. I've seen a robot nurse that's going to go around, take temperatures and everything. I've seen, of course, the rise of robot police. I've talked about this over the years. And yeah, robots are really going to be taking the place of humans that just don't want to take the jab. So we're going to see RoboCop out there. Actually, they are using a COVID robot dog, supposed dog, to take the temperatures of the homeless. And they only call this a dog because it's a little too creepy when you don't think about it as a dog. If you think about it as a four-legged killing machine robot. And they're doing this out there in Hawaii. And the Honolulu Police Department in Hawaii is using a $150,000 robot named Spot to take the temperatures of homeless people in its effort to combat COVID-19. Isn't that just so great? It was worth the money, $150,000. It's not a waste of the taxpayers' money. It's not very dystopian and creepy. No, not at all. Hey, speaking of dogs, we have I guess we could call it the Beaglegate that's going on, where Fauci has been exposed for torturing animals for a long time. But what they're doing with the beagles wasn't really, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Fauci funding this this experiment in Tunisia where they're putting dogs, little beagle puppies' heads in mesh cages and having starved sandflies feast on their faces until they die and severing their vocal cords so they can't bark and disturb the scientists. Trust the scientists. Absolutely sickening, but guys, this is just one of many. Fauci has been only basically funding animal experiments for a long time. Animal experiments that look like the Ministry of Truth, or was it the Ministry of Love? I forget, in 1984, making that look like child's play in comparison to what they're doing. And so beagles are one of the primary dog models that they use for their torturous experiments. So we've learned about a number of the different experiments that have been funded by Fauci and the NIH over the years. He signed off on all of these. There was one last year where the Institute paid the University of Georgia almost $500,000 to infect beagles with a parasite before killing them and cutting them open. And this was to test a drug. Yeah, and this drug had already been extensively tested and confirmed in other animal species. So basically, it was just to infect beagles with a parasite and then cut them open. Interesting, though, considering what we've been learning about a parasite being in some of these injections and also potentially in some of the nasal rape swabs that they've been using to test for COVID. In 2019, Fauci's NIAID paid $1.68 million to inject and force-feed toxic drugs to 44 beagle puppies before killing them and cutting them open. They paid for the dogs to undergo cordectomy, which is also known as debarking, so you can really, you know, annoy the technicians, so the technicians wouldn't have to hear their pain. So the purpose of the experiment was to generate data on the drug to support application to the FDA, even though the FDA expressly does not mandate that human drugs be studied in dogs. They're just looking to torture dogs for some reason. Let's take a look at some of the other experiments that Fauci has funded over the years. This was compiled by a researcher named Leighton Woodhouse. Beagles were infected with pneumonia in order to induce septic shock and experimental massive acute hemorrhage, and then given blood transfusions. After 96 hours, animals still alive were considered survivors and were euthanized. They were murdered. Beagles were infected with anthrax in order to test a vaccine that was already FDA approved. Mongrel dogs were subjected to induced heart attacks, scanned by MRI, and then killed and dissected. Pigs, rabbits, guinea pigs, and monkeys were subjected to agonizing pain without an anesthesia. These included infecting pigs with a virus that causes acute respiratory stress, hemorrhagic manifestations, paralysis, and other symptoms. Injecting rabbits with bacteria that create severe skin infections and ear lesions and usually death within 12 hours. Infecting guinea pigs with a virus that causes multi-organ failure and death, as well as hind limb paralysis or prolapsed rectum, and infecting monkeys with Ebola and tuberculosis, the latter of which produces symptoms including rapid breathing, weight loss, and inability to drink. Here's one that is especially interesting. Monkeys had parts of their brains destroyed with acid in order to increase their capacity for terror, and were then tormented with simulated spiders, snakes, and other things they instinctively fear. These experiments have been ongoing for more than four decades. That last one, just think about how much they've used fear in order to get people to comply. Even if it's not fear of COVID, it's fear of losing your job or fear of the government coming to get you and all the rest. These people feed on fear. Fauci has also experimented on orphans in New York City. These were the children of AIDS patients. And he's also murdered a bunch of people with AZT as well. But that's a different story. Woodhouse points out how the NIH and Fauci's NIAID has really funded all of these tests that have a 90% failure rate and are completely unnecessary. The NIH spends more than $40 billion a year on medical experiments, and most of them involve animal testing. Actually, 47% of their grants involve animal testing. And it's likely that that percentage is much higher for NIAID alone. They have a budget of $6 billion, and there's an unwritten rule that in order to win an NIAID grant, you have to test on animals. Yep. So, you know, a lot of people have tried to compare Fauci to Hitler and Mengele and just Nazism in general, or Fauchism, as some of them put it. They put a little little Hitler mustache on him. But this guy would have been thrown in a concentration camp immediately just for what he's done to animals alone. He probably would have been executed. And I could think of other torturous ways to treat somebody who has dealt with animals in this way. I think maybe a little bit of that taste of your own medicine could go a long way with Fauci. You can maybe debark him beforehand. Actually, no. I think some people would want to hear his kvetching as he's experimented on. But this is all just hypothetical. I'm talking about, you know, metaphorically speaking here, because I would never, never want to see anybody harm the great, glorious Dr. Fauci. Anyway, the National Socialists were very much against all of this insanity, this cruel Semitic sadism that we're seeing take place. I don't know if you can technically even be sadistic towards animals, but whatever the term would be, that's what we're seeing here. Yes, the National Socialists in 1927 had a representative to the Reichstag call for cruelty to animals and kosher butchering to be just banned. Nothing happened. In 1931, they proposed a ban on vivisection, which is this animal experimentation we've been hearing about, but they didn't get support then. It was only after they came to power in 1933 that things actually changed, and the first laws that they passed had to do with animal cruelty. Isn't that crazy? Wikipedia even admits, Germany was the first nation to ban vivisection. A law imposing total ban on vivisection was enacted on August 16, 1933 by Hermann Göring as the Prime Minister of Prussia. He announced an end to the unbearable torture and suffering in animal experiments and said that those who still think they can continue to treat animals as inanimate property will be sent to concentration camps, which he made clear on a radio broadcast as well. It became illegal to mistreat or handle animals in any way that would harm them. Force feeding fowl was banned, and animals in zoos and circuses had to have extra protections. Animals had to be slaughtered with anesthetic, and we know that the top leadership of the National Socialists, Hitler, Himmler, and Hess, were all devoted vegetarians. I think Hess was the most devoted out of any of them. And they really just were not happy with the way that Jews and just the Judaic mindset, which included Christianity, treated animals. And even just neglecting your pets could get you fined and arrested. And I think these are all great measures. I wish we had similar measures here today. There's no need for vivisection. There really isn't. You know what the National Socialists were looking at in terms of medicine? They were huge on herbology. They were looking at herbs. They were looking at nature, how to harvest nature to get treatments for everything that we need. You don't need to test on animals. We have so many proven treatments for humans and animals alike that have been proven over the thousands of years. We just need to live in a sane society again instead of being lorded over by Dr. Fauci and all of his conflicting recommendations. Put on your triple mask and get vaxxed up, Goyim. That's going to infect everybody except the vampires will be left safe. And once World Truth Videos actually loads, we'll be able to hear this. It's called predictive programming. I don't know if that's the most accurate term. I think predictive programming could be slightly different than what this is, which is maybe just revelation of the method. I don't know the proper term for it. Okay, let's listen in here to this cartoon. In just a second, yes.
Clean slate. The culmination of 500 years of preparation. On holy ground on the night of the Hunter's Moon, I will cast the fulfillment spell inscribed upon the Medici tablet. The spell will bond the chemical disinfectant DI7 with the CV-1000 carrier virus.
Whoa. Okay, chemical disinfectant DI7 with the CV-1000 carrier virus. CV virus? Interesting. So where is this going?
This blend of science and sorcery will disinfect the planet of all intelligent life, fulfilling my greatest desire, the complete destruction of the human race. The praying gargoyle will protect me, my daughter, and my kind from the plague. And gargoyles will take their rightful place as the rulers of this world.
Okay, I guess it wasn't a vampire. It looks like a vampire. It's a gargoyle vampire thing. Yep. And, yeah, I think we know who they are. We have Noam Chomsky. Speaking of gargoyle vampires, do you have Noam Chomsky recently calling for another Holodomor for people who don't go along with the program, who don't want to get vaxxed up? Yeah, he wants to starve the unvaxxed into submission. He came out and said, such people have to be, they should have the decency to remove themselves from the community. If they refuse to do that, then measures have to be taken to safeguard the community from them. That's actually their problem. Just let them starve. Now, then he realizes, you know, that he's saying that he's going to deny food to anybody that doesn't get vaxxed up. And already we're seeing in places like Germany, you can't even go to a grocery store unless you've got the vax pass. Said, of course, if they really become destitute, then yes, you have to move in with some measure. They're not going to secure your survival. Now, that's not what these Jews want, but just absolutely insane. This guy has been seen as a big free speech advocate, a hero of freedom. Noam Chomsky, the Jewish supremacist who wants to starve the unvaxxed into submission and put them in jail, essentially. And that's a great segue to my next segment, which we'll be talking about Jews. I notice, guys, that once a Jew grows out their beards, and listen, I'm all for beards. Some of them look absolutely ridiculous. You shouldn't be a young man with a wizard beard, in my opinion. If you want to, all the power to. But I don't know if, you know, that's the best look at this point. Maybe wait till you're older to grow the whole wizard beard. But anyway, when Jews grow out their beards, you can tell that they're rabbis. They look like rabbis. They look like the Jews that they are. When they're operating within the political spectrum as, you know, politicians representing their different host countries, you know, these parasites actually kind of, they blend in a little bit better. They have the clean-shaven face, the short-cropped hair. They're not wearing the rabbit fur hats and all the rest. And, you know, they sometimes pass as being, well, human. but sometimes it's just obvious. You know, the Henry Waxmans, Jonathan Greenblatt, who looks like Nosferatu. I mean, some of them do look like mythological creatures, but other ones pass. You know, especially the ones in the movies and things. But I saw a picture of Jack Black with a big beard, and it's just like, oh my God, he looks like a Hasidic rabbi from Israel. Now you can really see it. And yeah, Jack Black is Jewish. He has a Jewish mother and a father, I think, who converted to Judaism. Just keep that in mind, that Jews really do look more Jewish when they grow out their beards. And I think that shaving is something that they really just do to blend in. Anyway, they should not culturally appropriate the costumes of their host nations. I don't like that. They're all about not culturally appropriating. I wish they would stop doing that with white people so they could blend in and not be recognized as a parasite. But yeah, this past Halloween, the ADL really made a strong stand against cultural appropriation. They did not want Halloween costumes to be offensive to oppressed minorities. Now, let's move on to another story. This one's from the Jerusalem Post. Meet the Jewish woman guiding one of the U.S.'s largest liberal donor groups. Well, isn't that something? Okay, here's the ADL tweet, sorry. Halloween is a week away and you and your family might be brainstorming costume ideas. Check out our resource for reminders about how and why to avoid cultural appropriation, cultural stereotypes, and costumes that perpetuate gender norms. These Jews are behind everything that we don't like about society, really, honestly. That's why I talk about them every single week. Okay, so the picture for this Jerusalem Post article about the Jewish woman guiding one of the U.S.'s largest liberal donor groups is that one of the big statues, or busts, rather, of George Floyd. Yes. Melding Jewish expression with social justice was embedded in her upbringing in suburban Detroit, Schiffman said, where she grew up in a conservative Jewish home. Politico called the Democracy Alliance, one of the country's major liberal donor groups, secretive. The conservative Washington Free Beacon called it George Soros's shadowy dark money donor club. But the group's new president, Pamela Schiffman, says she's all about shining a light on what she calls threats to democracy, right-wing anti-Semitism, and other issues. The Democracy Alliance raises money in support of organizations the group says works to advance a progressive agenda. Unlike some other liberal fundraising groups such as Move On that cite large numbers of donors, the Democracy Alliance focuses on major giving only. Donors must commit to giving at least $200,000 per year to enter. The group boasts Tom Steyer, Susie Tompkins Buell, and yes, left-wing megadonor George Soros among its members, but most of its donors are anonymous. Anonymous donors who have to give over $200,000 per year? This is the rich Jewish elite right here, just funding our destruction, essentially. And I guess they're proud of it, at least in their own publications like the Jerusalem Post. Let's take a look at the new Politico owner. He's a pro-Israel guy. All right, this is from Israel-Palestine News, which is Allison Weir's If Americans Only Knew, or If Americans Knew site. New Politico owner says he will enforce pro-Israel policy. German publishing house Axel Springer, which recently acquired Politico magazine and Business Insider, requires from every employee of our company a commitment to Israel's right to exist, i.e. Israel's alleged right to ethnically cleanse the land. So, isn't that something? Yeah. The Berlin-based company has Matthias Dopfner now as the chief executive. He said, he told the Journal on Friday that this sentiment and others, such as support for United Europe and a free market economy, are like a constitution. They apply to every employee of our company. And employees who disagreed should not work for Axel Springer, very clearly. So he tries to make it seem like, especially in Germany, you know, you just, there's no other option. It's every German's duty to support Israel. You've got to. You just got to. Let's take a look at a story that I just saw the week before Halloween about Jew witches. They even call them that. Jew witches. That's one word. J-E-W itches. How some Jew witches embrace both Judaism and witchcraft. Well, you look at the modern witchcraft movement. I'm not talking about the old school European pre-Christian religions and all that, which got labeled as witchcraft and they were hunted down and murdered by Judeo-Christians. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the modern witchcraft movement. It was started by Gerald Gardner, a Jew. So the Jew witches of today, it's kind of redundant. Modern witchcraft is Jewish. Let's take a look at this AP News article. In a scene from a recently released movie, three older women in a small room slowly walk clockwise around a table covered in candles, chanting curses softly. A scene from the latest Macbeth remake? Not exactly. It's a moment from indie film A Kaddish for Bernie Madoff, a musical exploration of spirituality, Jewish identity, and the Bernie Madoff case. Here was the big issue with Bernie Madoff. The reason why some Jews don't like this Jew is because he ripped off Jews. That's the only reason. If you're somebody like Shalom Rubashkin or something, they're going to welcome you all home. You know, you're a great man. You're a mensch. Get Donald Trump to free you from prison. But Bernie Madoff, he was bad because he ripped off Jews. So its creator, Alicia Jo Rabbins, identifies as a Jewish artist and educator who incorporates elements of witchcraft into her practice of Judaism, an increasingly common, if still controversial, combination. In both the modern witchcraft and Jewish communities, people are bringing together magic, often called witchcraft, and religious ritual. This is Kabbalah, I mean, really. The ways in which these two seemingly distinct practices merge is often highly personal, depending on heritage, education, and spiritual calling. But just real quickly, all those people are still posting based Tucker Carlson videos. This guy wears a Jewish bracelet, the frickin' Kabbalah bracelet, little red bracelet. He's a Jew witch, or Jew wizard, if you will. The kinds of witchcraft that I practice draw on my training in Jewish rituals, said Rabins, who holds the Torah in the above scene in the Madoff film. I don't see it as opposed to, but building on it. Yeah, I agree. And it makes me think of the movie Hocus Pocus, which featured at least two Jewesses in the roles of the three Jews. There's one who is a Lebanese actress. I think it's a Jew as well. The fatter one, not Sarah Jessica Parker or Bette Midler. It was the other one in Hocus Pocus. She looks very Jewish. Anyway, it's a movie about three Jew witches who suck the life force and murder little children in order to stay young forever, which we're seeing actually just kind of out there in the open now with companies like Ambrosia, which was funded by Peter Thiel and other Jews out there just looking for the fountain of youth, which involves taking the blood from young children. And we know all about adrenochrome and the rest. But yeah, that's what Jew witches are all about. And also that story made me think of a Jew witch who was a part of this network before, she has been hanging out with or been photographed in the past with somebody wearing a Kabbalah bracelet. So that's interesting. And I'm talking about Tabitha, who actually has a name that was probably inspired by the TV show Bewitched, where the main character was named Tabitha. And yeah, she's been getting into all sorts of insanity recently. I'm not going to get into Tabitha, who was formerly partnered with Mike Sledge. I don't know what's going on anymore with that guy, but I don't really care. Anyway, let's get on to the trans Holocaust. Yes, let's talk about the trans Holocaust here. This is an important story coming from Jews. Oh, this thing is disgusting looking. And what I just said was a hate crime. No, excuse me. This is a beautiful woman here. Creating trans Holocaust stories for young LGBTQ plus readers. How Judy Battalion turned a book about women resistance fighters in the ghettos into an age-appropriate resource for middle schoolers. Yes, this is what middle schoolers should be reading about. Trans Holocaust stories. Top 100 Holocaust films. This is, I guess, another story here. This was an ad right below the story. First published for Jewish Heritage Month for my Jewish friends. No matter what your religion or lack of one, everyone deserves justice and dignity in life. That should be basic human right that we all should fight for vigilantly. And it looks like the little thumbnail they're using for there is from Spielberg's Schindler's List. Top 100 Holocaust. There are freaking 100 Holocaust films. There are so many Holocaust films that they have to have a top 100 list. Jeez. I wonder who runs the movie industry. 2% of the population, but like, I don't know, a third of the movies made about Holocaust. Oh, the Holocaust. All right, let's take a look at, this is a good one. There was a woman at a school board meeting recently who was just fed up with all this CRT anti-white nonsense. She was saying, if you want to bring race into it, well, you know, let's talk about a certain group. Let me just play this clip for you guys here so you can hear this courageous woman. Oh, this has gotten a decent amount of views just on the Tribune alone, almost 700 now. It's just great to see people waking up to what's going on and who's behind it. And I want you to know everything that you do to spread this message helps. Who knows? Maybe it was you sharing something on one of your social networks that caused the butterfly effect that caused this woman to be talking about the Jews at a school board meeting. Every little bit helps spread awareness, expose the villainy.
The next topic is the CRT. I agree with what both of these people said, but you know what? If you want to talk about racism, if you want to bring it in, then let's bring it in. Let's get to the bottom of it. If you're talking about white supremacy, okay? Let's get to the very bottom of it. Every one of these things, the deep state, the cabal, the swamp, the elite, you can't mention it, but I will. There is one race that owns all the pharmaceutical companies. And these vaccines aren't safe, they aren't effective, and they aren't free. You know that you're paying for it through the increase in gas prices, the increase in food prices. You're paying for this. and it's being taken from your money and given to these pharmaceutical companies. And if you want to bring race into this, it's the Jews.
God damn right it's the Jews. Good for this woman. Mic drop moment. It's the Jews. Done. And she put it in at the end so that they couldn't cut off her mic. I like that. All right, here's another story, which will transition into our next segment. Well, the CEO of Barclays, whose name is Jess Staley, he stepped down amid pressure over his Jeffrey Epstein ties. So yeah, the fallout from all these people being connected to this Jewish child sex trafficker, it's still ongoing. And that's good to see. I mean, even though really Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein and the sexual blackmail that they were doing with their underage sex slavery ring, it's kind of been pushed under the rug. You know, this was all for Israel and the Mossad, of course, and nobody wants to talk about that. But, you know, we're not seeing big stories about it anymore. Actually, we're seeing some, but Prince Charles, Prince Andrew has been going after his accuser. He's been calling out Virginia Roberts or Virginia Giuffre. Isn't it funny? Her last name is now essentially Giuffre. She's now free of the Jews. He's been going after her, just, you know, calling her, making all sorts of accusations against her. She's the problem. She's the problem. Not Andrew. Andrew didn't do nothing. Even when he went to stay with convicted child trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, he was doing nothing wrong. Oh man, they're all connected. Bill Gates, of course, everybody, the Clintons, Trump, they were all connected to this operation. And really, who's been brought to justice? Epstein's alive and well. Yeah, Epstein didn't kill himself because he's alive and well and living high on the hog somewhere, I bet. That person we saw that was supposedly Epstein being brought out of the prison, not him at all. Attached earlobes. And speaking of attached earlobes, I just wanted to bring up the fact that our pedo in chief, we got at least two guys pretending to be pedo in chief. I don't know, maybe one guy was replaced at some point, but there are two different Joe Bidens. One has attached earlobes, and one has the big floppy earlobes like I have that are not attached at the bottom. Just go look at it yourself. There, I'm pretty sure he had the floppy earlobes more in the past. I've really been seeing the attached earlobes guy recently. But regardless, it's our pedo in chief, and there are reports that he's been pooping himself. That, you know, remember when he came out, he told some reporters that my butt's been wiped. At least that's what it sounded like. That's actually serious. That this guy just can't hold in his bowels anymore. And it's just an absolute mess. He has no idea what he's doing. He seems to have dementia. Maybe it's all an act. I don't know. But it's just the current state of things in our world. That's who is ruling over us. This incompetent, incontinent pedo in chief. And speaking of pedos, let's take a look at a collection of news articles I saw recently. this is Cheshire Live. Pedophile spared jail over 2,000 child abuse images. The Evening News. Pedophile spared jail after saying he wanted to change, all while having secret, highly sexualized chats with girl. This is all from the UK. This is from the Advertiser. Pedophile spared jail after deleting pornographic internet history. Mirror. Mum's history after pedophile who raped her 5-year-old daughter spared jail. Whole Life. Pedophile whole granddad spared jail because he might catch coronavirus in prison. The Telegraph. Pedophile who preyed on girl 13 spared jail after backlogs delayed his case. Independent. Former Tory campaign manager spared jail over indecent images of children. And then you just look at some of the stories about the people who, you know, deny the Holocaust, and then they get thrown in jail. The people who have swastika underpants or something after, you know, the police raid the person's home. Oh, we found swastika underpants. You're going to jail. He had a swastika flag. Oh, he had hate material. He had stickers. We have a former host, Paul Hickman, who got arrested and was going to be in prison for years because he was putting up anti-Semitic stickers, or maybe they're just pro-white stickers. I forget what the stickers were. And he ended up killing himself. But you know who's just let free? Oh, yeah, pedophiles, child rapists, the child grooming gangs. You can't even go after them because it's racist. They'll arrest the parents going after these child grooming gangs, the child sex slavery rings, not the people who are actually abusing these girls and drugging them up and pimping them out. No, they won't go after them. Go after the Holocaust deniers. This is just so sick. This world needs to come to a swift realization that we have sadistic child rapists and murderers who are ruling over us. And this isn't just some QAnon Pizzagate conspiracy. This is the reality of what's taking place. We've seen Joe Biden sexually molest little girls on C-SPAN. Oh, yeah. And he met with the Pope recently, the head of an organization that's well known for just raping lots and lots of little children. And he made a really weird comment. Let's actually play this. Joe Biden, after 75 minutes with the Pope, where supposedly he pooped himself, that can't be verified, he told the Pope, you're the famous African-American baseball player in America. Literally, that's what he says. You're the famous African-American baseball player in America. I'll turn on the audio for this and let you hear it, but this is exactly what he says. Maybe I'm just missing the context.
Thank you for that.
You're the famous African-American baseball player in America.
One more time.
Thank you for that.
You're the famous African-American baseball player in America.
What does that mean? It was like some other comment he made at the hall with Anderson Cooper about something about Portal Bridge. Maybe it's just coded language, or he's just absolutely lost his mind. Okay, while we're on the pedo section, I wanted to mention an article I did called This Week in Education, where I talked about the drag lap dances that were taking place in Hazard, Kentucky, which involved the principal and mayor getting grinded on, and some other faculty and staff getting lap dances from boys who were dressed up in sexy lingerie in drag, essentially, half naked, many of them. And they also had the girls. The girls were dressed up in Hooters costumes. So yeah, that's what's going on in Hazard, Kentucky. It was upsetting a lot of people this week. And then in Florida, I think this is Broward County, a school board member, Sarah Leonardi, was just super proud of bringing a bunch of, it looks like 9-year-olds, elementary school children, to a sodomite bar for a field trip. And the menu at this place just had a bunch of innuendo, sexual puns, just gross stuff. You know how these fags like to do. And on the walls, too. So on the walls, it said, let's see here. It said, love sucks, true love swallows. Yeah. On the menu, you had things like Ivana Hooker, Miley High Club, Young Ranch Hand. Oh, they're not into pedo stuff. No. Homosexuals aren't covering for the pedos. No. The left one is bigger. So that's talking about testicles. Yeah, this is where she brought some children to really show them culture. This is real culture right here. This is progressive, loving society. This is just so sick. And then I also got into a story I'll cover in my next section, which is about race. So let's get right into our talk about race. Let's start with a clip from Rutgers professor Brittany Cooper on how white people just got to be taken out. She said, we got to take these motherfuckers out. So let's listen into this. She was spewing this hatred on a YouTube video with The Root. Now, just imagine if you will, if there was an interview where a white person is saying, we got to take these Jewish motherfuckers out, or black motherfuckers, or anything. any other group, would it stay up on YouTube? Would this maybe be flagged as hate speech, incitement to violence? Yeah, I think so. But what's white people?
I think that white people are committed to being villains in the aggregate, right? The real sort of issue here, and I, you know, I've heard people sort of say it, is one, I think that white people viscerally fear. It's not that white people don't know, right, what they have done. They know. They fear that there is no other way to be human but the way in which they are human, which is to, so, you know, like you talk to white people and whenever you really want to have a reckoning about it, they say stuff like, you know, it's just human nature. If y'all had all of this power, you would have done the same thing, right?
Okay, even without power, black lady, your people are raping, pillaging, murdering, your own people included. You're acting terribly. But if you want to talk about slavery, who sold the blacks to the Jewish merchants? And it wasn't white people. It was Jews, of course. And she's not going to mention that because who do you think pays for her? Who do you think's making excuses for her? Right? But who did it? If you want to talk about slavery, black lady, who's holding slaves today? Is it white people holding slaves? Or are there a lot of slaves, including child slaves, in places like the Congo? With black owners. You want to talk about slave ownership? How about the black slave owners in America? No, of course, real history, we can't talk about that. It's just got to be all blame whitey, because we got to take these motherfuckers out.
Right? And it's like, no, that's what white humans did. White human beings thought there's a world here and we own it. Prior to them, black and brown people have been sailing across oceans, interacting with each other for centuries without total subjugation, domination, and colonialism.
Black people sailing? Really? Really? Oh, black people are so good in the water. Yeah. Yeah, we have huge histories of just massive boats just crossing the Atlantic with black people on them. You know, captained by black people. Yeah. Absolutely not. No, we don't. Other peoples, yes, they have been moving around the world and building boats and things. Not so much with the Africans, no.
We have seen what a show this iteration of treatment of other human beings means, and that my hope is that we would do it differently, you know, in the moments when we have some power. We will not do it perfectly, but I do think that all of us can sort of agree that a politics that says like there are superior and inferior human beings just isn't the way to go. And that's the thing.
Why don't you call it the Jewish supremacist? They literally call themselves the chosen people. They rule over all of us. Again, I think we know why.
That white people don't trust us to do because they are so corrupt. You know, their thinking is so morally and spiritually bankrupt about power that they can't let, you know, they fear viscerally, existentially letting go of power because they cannot imagine that there's another way to be. It is either that you dominate or you are dominated. And isn't it sad that is spiritually who they are and that they can't imagine a sort of more expansive notion of the world? The thing,
what's really funny is that this woman's talking about how it'd just all be peace and love and everything be great if just white people gave up power. Why are we so afraid of giving up this power? When she then goes on and says that white people need to be taken out. That's what you would do if you had the power, is just genocide all white people, essentially.
The thing I want to say to you is we got to take these motherfuckers out. But I know, but like, we can't say that, right? We can't say, like, I don't believe in a project of violence. I truly don't. Because I think in the end that our souls suffer from that. And I do think that some of this is a spiritual condition. So here is where I land most days about white people. And I actually have been helped in this by thinking about indigenous people, right? See, part of the challenge around whiteness is that it totally skews our view of everything, right? I gave this like TED talk about this some years back, and one of the reasons I was trying to...
You're so oppressed giving TED talks about just your anti-white nonsense. You're so oppressed. This society is just a white supremacist society where you're giving TED talks about how white people suck. You freaking kidding me?
Think about it. It's like the world didn't start when white people arrived in America and tried to tell all the rest of us how things were going to go. There were people out here making worlds, Africans and indigenous people.
Africans in America. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tons of Africans all over America. Actually, if you really want to talk about history, suppressed history, you talk about the Salutrians. You talk about the white people who were in America before the Asiatics came. And the white people were genocided. Really, if you look at world history, it's one of white people being around the world and then being genocided and no longer being in certain places. That's what happened out in China as well, with all those blonde-haired mummies. You've actually got blonde-haired mummies all over. You've got them in Central and South America. You've got blonde-haired, blue-eyed mummies in China, in Africa, all over the place. Definitely in Egypt, huge amounts. Blonde and redheaded ones, especially. And, yeah, they all got taken out. They took those motherfuckers out, and they want to do it again. That's what she's talking about. I'm going to stop that clip because I just can't take any more of her absolute insane drivel, which is now scientific fact. Just trust the science. This woman is the science because she's a university professor. Now, let's listen into a speech given by a mother from Loudoun County in Virginia, where that big scandal took place, where a trans boy or trans girl, I don't even know what they're called anymore, a boy wearing a dress, raped a girl, a young girl. It was a black boy, raped a young white girl, and then got transferred to a different school where he anally raped another white girl. And the school board's covering up, and they arrested the father of one of the girls who was speaking out against it. Now, this mother talks about how her six-year-old daughter came home and asked if she was born evil because she's white. This is the kind of psychological warfare that's being waged against children with this CRT. Critical race theory is a euphemism for anti-white indoctrination, for a genocidal policy that is being implemented at schools across the board, and which was really implemented while there was a big shutdown with the COVID-19 crisis, basically acting as cover for all these new things that were then implemented in these schools. Muzzle the children and then tell them that every white one of them is evil.
My children are now in private school and are thriving. We had specifically moved into chased out of LCPS due to the swift and uncompromising political agenda of Superintendents Williams, Ziegler, and the school board that have forced upon us. First, it was in early spring of 2020 when my six-year-old somberly came to me and asked me if she was born evil because she was a white person, something she learned in a history lesson at school. Then you kept the schools closed for a year and a half despite the science indicating that it was safe for kids to return. And now you've covered up a rape, then arrested, humiliated, and falsely accused her parents of being domestic terrorists. I wish I could return my kids to LCPS. Private school is expensive, and I want my kids to be able to walk home from school with their friends in their own community. I refuse to allow you to destroy our schools. They are not your schools. They are our schools. You all should be ashamed, and you should have the moral courage to admit you are wrong and step down.
Good for that mother for speaking up. I wish more people would do that, not care about getting called racist for sticking up for their six-year-old daughter who was psychologically abused for being white. That's racism for you. The only real racism that's existing in this country is the systemic racism against white people as we're being genocided. Now, in that education article, I mentioned how schools are now getting rid of their gifted and talented programs because they're racist. This AP News article says, schools debate gifted and talented or racist and elitist. So, New York City under de Blasio is looking to get rid of all their gifted and talented programs, and the same thing is happening out in Seattle, because not enough children of color are being identified as being gifted. The statistics they give here, nationwide, 8.1% of white and 12.7% of Asian American children in public schools are considered gifted. That Asian supremacy, ugh. Compared with 4.5% of Hispanic and 3.5% of black students, according to an Associated Press analysis of the most recent federal data. Now, this is all said to be due to racism because we're all created absolutely equal, so we all have the same cognitive abilities, even though these percentages are due to, one, IQ distribution, with Asians on average supposedly having a slightly higher percent IQ than white people, and also their culture. the kind of home environment that is supportive of advanced learners. So you have blacks and Hispanics being underrepresented because they, on average, have lower IQs and don't have families that are supportive of academic achievement. That's just simply the case. It's not because of racism. It's not because of different barriers that are put in place. So what they're looking to do in places that aren't looking to just completely get rid of these programs altogether, what they're looking to do is to lower the barriers so that instead of having actual tests to see if somebody can be accepted into these programs, they're going to have some, you know, different testimony from friends and family and from the school. And, you know, they're looking to do whatever they can to elevate the number of black and brown children that are considered advanced. And of course, this is just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Not everybody is created equal. And what they're going to do is make sure no child gets ahead here. And that's what they want to do. They want to bring us all down to the lowest common denominator. White children being intelligent, that's racism. Now, let's take a look at what's going on at the elite college level. Cambridge University is putting trigger warnings about offensive slavery and racism content on classic children's books. Yep, everything needs a trigger warning. I told you a couple weeks ago, or I don't know, months ago, about how the Declaration of Independence now has a trigger warning in the U.S. archives, how the U.S. Constitution has a trigger warning. So let's see some of the different stories that are getting trigger warnings. The list reported includes Laura Ingalls Wilder, the author of the 1935 book Little House on the Prairie for stereotypical depictions of Native Americans. Also included is Dr. Seuss creator Theodore Seuss Geisel over overt blackface and other cultural insensitivities, while The Wonderful Wizard of Oz author L. Frank Baum has been pulled up for the white supremacy featured in his 1906 short story Bandit Jim Crow. So yeah, everything's racist, to be honest. Everything. That's essentially the crux of critical race theory. Everything that is wrong with the world is due to white racism. And you know how we need to really fix this? We need to indoctrinate everybody. Not just the children, but also the workforce as well. And that's what we saw with the recent leak of AT&T's internal racial re-education program. Jesus, racial re-education. White people, you are the problem. Direct quote. Regardless of how much you say you detest racism, you are the sole reason it has flourished for centuries. The sole reason. The only racism that exists is from white people against non-whites. That's it. And the CEO of AT&T is John Stankey, and yes, he is Jewish. You can go to the Tribune and look at some of these quotes yourself. American racism is a uniquely white trait. Black people cannot be racist towards you. Really. White women have been telling lies on black men since they were first brought to America in chains in 1619. And white women have been complicit. Yeah, listen, guys. The rape statistics of white women getting raped at an astronomical rate every single year by black men? All lies. Every single one of those cases. The white women wanted it. Black men can't rape white women. It's technically impossible. Oh my God. And this, of course, is all, you know, furthered by the literature like To Kill a Mockingbird, which has actually been taken out for being racist, I guess, which features a white woman lying about a black man, and then the white savior has to come in. That's why they object to it, because it's a white savior lawyer figure, Atticus Finch, who defends the black man. Oh man. It's absolutely sick. I hate this Jewish anti-white world. So check that on the Tribune if you want to read a little bit more about that. I reposted that one from Information Liberation. It's just like Coca-Cola's anti-white, so-called anti-racist training, and also Walmart's training about white is not right. So how are we going to really help out these black youths who have been so disenfranchised and oppressed by racism? I mean, they're so oppressed by white racism that they're going around and murdering each other, guys. So in order to really combat this, to fight the rising murder rate, punishment, it's not going to work, guys. What we need to do is mentor and pay these young black people who could become shooters. Yes, that's what's going on. Here's the Wall Street Journal. They have a story about how earlier this year, a 17-year-old named Devrick Hill was arrested on suspicion of firing multiple firearms out of a car in a conflict between gang members. So then he was recruited for a program that provides mentoring, job training, and a stipend of up to $1,000 a month in exchange for meeting goals that steer them away from violence. So if you're suspected of shooting people up and everything, let's give you some money so you don't shoot more people up. It's just crazy. It's absolutely insane. We're going to pay these young thugs not to kill each other. Yeah, that's great. This is a great use of taxpayer money. Oh, and also, let's talk about how the Biden regime has been talking about paying $450,000, yes, almost $500,000 per person to illegal alien families who are separated at the border. Thanks for breaking federal laws. Come in, come one, come all, and we're going to pay you $500,000 of taxpayer money. While Americans, not just white Americans, but Americans in general, especially white Americans, are homeless, are going hungry, have had their lives and businesses ruined, who are being fired from their jobs for not getting vaxxed up, while these illegal aliens don't have to get that same vax. Isn't that something? What's going on here? It's almost like the pedo in chief wants to commit white genocide. Oh, actually, that's exactly what he said he wanted to do with his unrelenting stream of mass immigration. Isn't that interesting? Oh, speaking about paying little hoodlums and everything, Chicago is actually looking to create the nation's largest guaranteed basic income program. But it's not going to be reparations. You got to have other reparations in addition to all this guaranteed basic income, which we saw before actually excludes white people. I don't know if that will be the case with this one. But yeah, Lori Lightfoot is going to gibs them that. They're going to be gibs that. Okay. So let's take a look at what happened to a hospital executive who was fired so that two diverse women could take his place at Novant Health in North Carolina. Actually, the jury did find that he was fired simply for being white, and he was awarded $10 million. I don't know if we can expect similar things to happen to other people who are fired for being white. This guy could obviously afford a lawyer to take his case, and it's not always going to be so obvious, but yeah, some guy was awarded $10 million for being fired for being white. But that's really going to be very common these days, people being fired for being white. I talked to you about the musicians over in England who were fired for half the whole company was fired so they can promote diversity. It's just so sick. It's so sick what we're willing to put up with, which is obvious anti-white genocidal rhetoric and action. We're being actively genocided, and most people either don't realize it or just too afraid to say anything. Because when your group is being targeted for extermination, if you stick your head up, there's going to be a Jewish hammer coming down to hammer you back into place. So most people don't want to stick their heads up. They want to keep their heads buried right in the sand. But that's not going to get us anywhere. That's just going to get us picked off one by one. We need to stand up. Together. Doesn't need to be as part of some kind of group. We need to stand up and say enough is enough. We're not putting up with this anymore. We're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of you, Lord Fauci. We're not afraid of you, Pedo Joe. We're not afraid of you, Merrick Garland. We're not afraid of you, General Milley. And all the rest of them. All the talking heads. We're not scared about you. Listen, you've already taken so much from us. What else do we have left to lose? We have everything to gain by getting you sick psychopaths out of power and nothing to lose. What are you going to throw us in prison? We're already living in an open-air prison. Oh, you're going to torture us like you torture the Beagles? Go on, see what happens. See what ends up happening to you in the long run. You know how they say karma's a bitch? Well, this time karma's a Beagle bitch and she's coming for you. Woof, woof. All right, guys, I've got Sinead here with me. Welcome to the show, Sinead.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good to have you, of course. I want to tell people to go check out heathenherbs.com. When are you going to have that winter soap up?
It's the 1st of November, isn't it? Okay, I'll put it up. I just got to make it tomorrow. But I'll put it up. I did say the 1st of November. It's a really, really nice soap. It's got all the Christmassy smells you can think of, like frankincense and myrrh and cinnamon and clove. And not frickin' vanilla, because vanilla doesn't work in the soaps ever. Although I will put it in the candle, the Winter Wonderland candle. So the Winter Wonderland candle is just the same as the blends that are in the Winter Wonderland soap with the added benefit of vanilla.
All right.
So, yeah, check it out. We have the gift boxes available, the Yule gift boxes. And, you know, if there's an item in there that you want to switch out for something that's comparable in price, we can make it happen. Just shoot me an email or leave me a note. Give me a call. Just don't call me to be creepy like a lot of people do. So... or ask me like where Charlie is, because I don't know where he is. I had some person that was like, oh, you know, I really want to talk to you on the phone. I want to place a large order.
I want to order like $500 worth of stuff.
First of all, you can't do that because our stupid company won't let me take more than what, like
$250
They've like limited me. I don't know. Where was I going with that?
Just order. And don't be creepy if you call. You don't need to call. Just order.
Yeah.
We do have a number, though.
Oh, I remember. The lady, after she said she was going to buy all that stuff, was like, so where's Charlie? And Charlie. I'm like, I don't freaking know.
And she never ordered.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah. Deception.
Like, don't be all, oh, I'm going to order from your business. And then just once you get me on the phone.
Well, she would have ordered if you told her where Charlie was.
So anyways, where's Charlie? I don't know. I'm not his, like, mother. He's a grown man. Can Charlie come back and play? We miss him. I mean, yeah. If he wanted to, he would.
Mm-hmm. Well, his eyes are not getting any better. That's the last I heard from him.
And I'm sure his health, as all of our health right now, is in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's crazy what we're all being exposed to. So, yeah, I can only imagine. I mean... I really don't blame him. I really don't. And it takes a toll on you, like, psychically and spiritually. Especially, he was doing 2 shows a week. At one point, he was doing 5 a week.
Yeah, one every morning.
So, I mean, like, you do burn out. You really do. I don't think people get that.
It's not fun. It's not even fun doing 1 show a week for me.
No.
It takes a lot out of me, actually.
Yeah.
Not just the talking. You know, I do sweat from just getting all worked up. It's not just that. It's just really having to be on point and really focus your energy and your anger.
Yeah, at the right target.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to mention some of the women that have been speaking up at these school board meetings and everything, and how powerful it is having angry mothers. And this kind of goes in with our idea.
Righteously angry.
Yeah. Goes in with our idea of, you know, the revolt of the soccer moms. Yeah.
Soccer mom squad.
Because if you go after Mama Bear's little cubs, you try to inject them, you try to poison them, you try to wave rainbow dildos in their face, you try to tell them that they're evil because they were born white, well, you're going to see a lot of angry mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you had to have the Jew, Merrick Garland, come and say, oh, we got these domestic terrorists who are talking out at the school board meetings. Stick the FBI on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we even had that one video of that woman saying, okay, you want to talk about racism? You guys are all focused on racists? Well, why don't you look at the race that owns all these pharmaceutical companies and controls everything? They're Jews. And mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you. Thank you so much for being brave, awesome women and standing up when so many people are cowards.
Especially
the ones who say they're supposed to lead the world and everything. Yeah, they don't friggin' do anything.
I don't see any of these women being featured on the Daily Stormer, for example.
Not. Or Patriot Front. I didn't know that Patriot Front was affiliated with the Daily Stormer until, 5 minutes ago when I was looking into it? Because we were doing a little quick little research.
I don't know how close the relation is. I don't think necessarily that the Daily Stormer promotes them. So I don't know who put that relation out. There are some ridiculous relations that people allege, you know, between Renegade and this group or that group. But Yeah, I mean, they're all in the same bed, from what I can tell.
They are, because they're linked up with that Rise Again or Rise Above movement and the Identitarians and all that shit.
Yeah. Now, I want to get into a little bit about Nordfront and their connections to the National Justice Party.
Yeah, they're promoting Mike Enoch.
So, but before that, I want to stand this idea of, you know, the power of women speaking out and how that's being suppressed actively by the so-called white nationalist anti-Semite leaders. And most of these people actually come at it from a Christian point of view, which is the justification. I do have the text that I found about the doctrine of original sin and how Christians have been suppressing sexuality in general for so long.
Especially female sexuality.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not allowed to exist. Women aren't supposed to have a sexual life.
But it really is Judaic in origin. You kind of almost see how Christians had their own version of the hole in the sheet.
Absolutely.
The glory hole in the sheet. Okay.
And many of them still do to this day, and that's why so many of them end up being deviants who end up screwing hookers and, like, just being perverse individuals because they try to suppress.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up being...
Or they try to just get around God's laws by doing weird stuff. For example, sodomy.
Soaking.
Well, okay, first you've got the Christian girls who are still virgins because they've been sodomized.
Yeah, that's so insane.
Because that's not actually sex.
But it's not
And then there's derfing, which is basically dry humping for Mormons. I think that's a Mormon term as well, right? And then there's also something that's called soaking.
We just learned about this. I don't even know if it's real. Is it?
Apparently so.
This is insane.
So young Mormons, they're not allowed to have sex before marriage.
Right.
But it's not sex if a penis goes in vagina and there's no motion.
Well, but they have, like, a friend jump on the bed?
So, yeah, they're not initiating the motion, the coitus. So they have one of their friends jump on the bed to then manufacture the motion.
How psychotic is that? Like, you're already inside of the person and you're like, well,
they're tricking God.
We can't enjoy this.
Well, so that's a very Jewish thing, too, is to, like, okay, God, we'll listen to you.
Yeah.
But, you see, we got this little, like, legalese workaround here, the loophole.
Just like they have on their Shabbat when they can't have the electricity and they, like, have all these little gadgets to get around it.
They put the wires up.
Touch the light.
They put the wires up all around the city.
What do they call it? Eruvs?
Eruvs, yeah. Eruvs. In order to make it so that, like, they're inside or it's, like, Jewish territory. Something so that they can skirt the Shabbos laws.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to this little text here, which is very, very... indicative of the Christian insanity.
Very based.
The Christian doctrine of original sin insists that all humans have inherited sin through our descent by way of sexual propagation from the first sinner, a woman called Eve.
Oh, evil Eve.
That is why in Christian mythology, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to be a virgin. As St. Augustine explained, if Mary had conceived in the human way, she would not have been sinless. So having children is sinful. Oh, yes. But I thought that Christians were like... totally pro-family.
Yeah.
This doctrine led to two direct consequences. First, sexuality itself was pathologized as sinful. Second, women, as the objects of men's sexual desire, were regarded as inferior, a means of arousing sin. Look at the Daily Stormer.
Yeah.
This is what every single article about how awful women are is about. Yeah. They're just flaunting their stuff and making men sexually aroused and sinful.
They blame single mothers of deadbeat fathers that just left, just completely abandoned their responsibilities. They blame the woman as if it's her fault. She picked a bad guy or she made him go crazy.
Yeah.
There's never any accountability from the man.
Men didn't do nothing ever.
They never did anything.
Adam ate that apple because he was tricked by evil Eve.
Yeah.
He didn't do
nothing. Well, I'm sorry. Isn't Mr. Logical Adam not supposed to fall for the tricks of an inferior woman?
Well, her sinful body made him listen.
Oh, that's why we need to cover them up, right?
Throughout the
female body is just
she was naked
sinful
at the time, and that's what caused
it. Were her boobs showing?
Apple bottom jeans. Okay, so throughout the New Testament, sexuality is condemned, but it is hard to imagine how low the sexual act stood in the eyes of the later church. We will allow Joachim Kahl, a former Protestant priest, to summarize. Sexual intercourse was forbidden on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, which amounted to almost half the year.
Half of the year you can't have sex because.
Yeah. In addition to this, it was prohibited during the 40 days of Lent and 40 days before Christmas. So I think that would end up being over half the year then, when you add in those. Yeah,
that's
Another 80 days. In case this was not enough, it was also forbidden for 3 days before receiving communion. What's more,
So that would be 3 days before Sunday?
I guess. I don't know if you were to, Kyle.
This reminds me of those parking signs in New York City where it's like, you can park here, but only on Tuesdays between 3 and 5, and then on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday.
And there's another sign that kind of contradicts that. And you're like, I don't understand.
Do I park here?
Am I in the window? Like, it's so hard to understand. Okay, so what's more, even the position of lovemaking was prescribed, and the church laid down punishments for anyone who wished to vary this official position.
This is where a missionary position comes from. Where the woman has to be on bottom.
Because that was the main sin of Lilith, was she didn't want to be on bottom.
And I wonder why I use that avatar. You know how everyone tries to call me a Jewess because I use a painting of Lilith? That's why.
It wasn't even
hilarious.
It wasn't even a painting of Lilith. It was,
But I guess they'd say that I'm a Jewish demon because I use that. Mm-hmm. No, because I think the story is hilarious that because she wanted to be on top during sex, that she was, like, considered a demon.
A demon who then was, like, going to go murder children. She's the worst of the worst in Jewish mythology.
She didn't want to be on bottom.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that I think I showed that post from some incel or MGTOW or whatever saying that, you know, women being on top during sex is actually the man engaging in homosexuality. Because you're being feminized by being on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having sex with a woman on top of you is
so gay. What the fuck?
Gay AF.
So gay.
Okay.
Homo.
The sexual act. Okay, hold on. The church laid down punishments for anyone who wished to vary this official position.
How did they know? Were they spying?
I don't know.
Excuse me? Are you having missionary sex right now?
Don't Jews pretty much spy on, like, you know, the menstrual things of women, you know, like they're forced to show their bloody this and that. I forget them.
I wonder if the church,
the mikvah baths and stuff.
The mikvah. I wonder if the church, like in this kind of whatever time period this was, also advised against having sex. You know, if a woman was menstruating or about to, or
probably. Didn't they kind of another half of the year? Didn't they pretty much check the sheets after a virgin was deflowered to make sure
and
she bled?
Just that entire myth that all virgins bleed or that hymens only break during the first sexual encounter is so devastating. Like, these myths are so antiquated and they perpetuate the enslavement of girls all around the world, like, to this day. It's just so insane.
Imagine if you didn't bleed and you're just cast out as a whore.
Yes. That happens all the time.
You're no longer married, you Jezebel.
It's just they just have this lie that's taught to them about female bodies, and it's just been perpetuated for generations. It's like crazy to see it coming back in America, which is supposed to be a first world country. Now we have this fucking Middle Eastern shit.
All right, let's
invading everywhere.
Let's see. The sexual act had to be performed as quickly and as uninterestingly as possible. Long, heavy night clothes with an opening at the requisite place were worn so that the husband could fertilize his wife without it being necessary or even possible to touch her too closely.
Oh my God.
The hole in the sheet.
Yeah, it is.
If a man had an involuntary nocturnal emission, he knew that he had committed a sin and had had to get up at once and recite 7 penitential
songs. I'm so sorry.
The next morning, he had to recite another 30. So, it was probably a succubus. It was probably Lilith.
It was Lilith on top.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
Ooh.
Being a demon.
I wonder why he would have a nocturnal emissions, why he'd have sexy dreams when he's having to have sex with his wife through long, heavy night clothes.
And can't that just happen without even having, like, a dream? No, there's always a dream.
I don't know if it's always associated with a dream or not, but, you know, it's usually called a wet dream.
Yeah.
So that's,
it's just so insane.
So, yeah, it's a
Christian allies. But see, now they push Christian it to allies. The other extreme. It's like, okay, if you don't like this, then you can have pornography and BDSM and choking you and, you know, and anal sex.
Right, yeah.
There's a middle ground.
They swing the pendulum from side to side.
There's
so if you don't like Miley Cyrus on stage, you know,
simulating
masturbation for little children at the Teen Choice Awards, you know, a few years ago. If you don't like that or you don't like Ellen twerking, you got to get the women completely covered.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is that so many of these groups who want to see women absolutely covered think that the nude female body is the most grotesque, horrid thing ever. they call themselves National Socialists, or they yeah. like Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Look at the art that was promoted by the National Socialists. Mm-hmm. So much of it had non-sexualized yep. female figures.
Yep. You know, and male.
Yeah, and male, too. So, but beautiful, idealized forms
yeah.
that were not being portrayed sexually. It wasn't mm-hmm. pornographic in the slightest.
The beauty of the human body.
So it was the actual happy medium yeah. where you're not insane and you know, going and basically promoting pornography to little children at every single possible turn like our society today. Mm-hmm. And it's also not like Handmaid's Tale type right. of right-wing theocracy where everybody must be completely covered and sexuality is the ultimate sin.
But that's, they're swinging the pendulum back here, at least, you know, in the West.
They want to. The reaction. The reactionaries are trying yeah. to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I am seeing, like, especially a lot of women starting to realize that feminism that they're offered is actually just more enslavement because they're trying to yeah. teach through feminism that porn is empowering and sex work is empowering. And a lot of young females are catching on to that, but they also are totally scared away from this stuff
yeah.
because we all know why.
Right.
So I'm happy to see more people coming out of the fog of like, I have to choose one side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's either this or that.
Hello, my fellow feminists. Why don't you get on OnlyFans? You can make a great income.
Yeah. And you can, you know, get paid to have a man degrade you and yeah. spit on you. Yeah, that's empowerment, sister.
My fellow feminists, why don't we welcome in these refugees?
Yeah. Foreigners, F better, remember
yeah,
that?
The femin thing.
Yeah.
And so many of those groups of women are paid, and so many are Jewesses. You even saw them with the Jew star mm-hmm. on them, written on their naked mm-hmm. bodies.
Yeah. And it's just, I think it's just such a turnoff when you go and hold up signs about, oh, feminism. Like, no one, like, we have way more important stuff to worry about. And if you really want to get into all the Jew divide and conquer, then you should also, you know, talk about the Mennonists and the Red Pill Jews that literally hold conferences on how to be a good woman. Did yeah. you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I forget what the name of the thing was. It was some
It's a huge industry, this, yeah. the Manosphere.
Yeah. But they always neglect that. They always neglect that side. I just think if you want to, like, bring people onto your side, I think harping over feminism all day is a lost cause because if you want to get to the root of it, it's just the Jews.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to turn off a lot of people because they associate anti-feminism with this absolute faggotry that wants to enslave women and blames women for everything. So I just think you should, like, cut to the chase. Go to the economic situation. Everyone's broke.
Yeah, why? You know, because women are working.
Because women are working.
They took all our yeah. jobs. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, it's their
damn
fault.
Women.
It's their fault. It's just crazy that they really are so upset that women now have a choice. That women don't have to settle for abusive relationships because they can take care of themselves. They really don't like that.
Well, here's the thing. They don't know what they don't like because on one hand, they complain that all women are sluts. They're,
right.
they're just having sex with anything, anyone.
Yeah.
Ugh, just gross, promiscuous women. Mm-hmm. While they'll never talk about
the
fags who have like, half of them have over 500 sexual partners.
Mm-hmm.
Not even called, it's not even sexual and it's not even partners.
No.
They have sex with.
Holes.
Yeah,
masturbation
yeah, yeah. Okay.
Holes.
So, but they will never, but at the same time as they're harping on women being absolute promiscuous sluts, they also complain that they're just into hypergamy,
yeah.
and they have such high standards that they don't want to date a guy like me. It's like, which is it? Choose one.
Yeah, which one?
Choose one. Are they ultimate sluts, or are their standards too high?
I'd say honestly, people's expectation of what a good feminine or good woman is these days, the bar is like extremely high. And, like, women are expected to meet, like, all of these standards. Like, you know, like, hold up your end of the relationship or, like, the financial situation. You gotta be, like, a porn star. You gotta then be, like, motherly. There's, like, all these standards that are put out for women right now from these absolute losers.
It really helps if you have slanty eyes.
Yeah.
If you got little chinky eyes.
Yeah.
That really helps. At least, you know, for these guys out there in the manosphere.
But the bar for these types, the manosphere types, is so low. Like, if they do the bare minimum, they're like, I deserve a 10 out of 10, baby. You know, I cut down a tree today. Like, they just expect the world. And it's just a sick joke.
All right, so let's now talk about Nordfront. Now,
yeah.
things came to a head between Nordfront and us back after I interviewed a couple of their guys, and I didn't know about all the people they were promoting. Since then, we've learned about how they've promoted Dugin, how they were promoting Trump heavily, how they were promoting people like Kike Enoch, who was exposed as Anglin. Being a Jew, how they're promoting Anglin. They were really promoting all these very toxic people in the alt-right.
Russian imperialists.
Yeah, so we've gone into all of that. Yeah, sure, some of their members could be completely legitimate. I'm sure some of them are. Some of them are probably doing good activism over there.
Of course.
But their leadership under Simon Lindbergh... it really seems to be working against our interest and compromise. And now they're, you know, in bed with the National Justice Party, which is led by Kike Enoch. An admitted, at least partial Jew, who had a Jewish wife. And it's just...
Diversity officer.
Yeah, it's such an obvious controlled opposition group.
Can you imagine if we got exposed as being part Jewish? Like, if... That was just known. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're part Jewish. But we should still let them lead our little political movement. And we should still, you know, just give them the benefit of the doubt.
They've pretty effectively removed the evidence of the different clips Mike is saying.
There was a picture of him at Shabbat dinner with his mixed race brother. Pictures of him and his Jewish wife, the diversity officer. They were going to drag shows together.
Remember that leaked Facebook combo where he's saying that anybody that thinks that 9/11 was committed by Jews and not by a Muslim terrorist is some idiotic conspiracy?
Yeah, wasn't it John Friend that got that screenshot? And then didn't John Friend just go and cozy up to all those same people?
Probably.
Yeah, he did. Like, wow, cool. These people have no honor.
Yeah, and now we got the GDL. Yeah.
Oh, it's totally different.
The GDL down there and causing some problems in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, with their really awesome messaging that really gets things going, saying vax the Jews.
Yeah.
Like, do you think your average person driving by is going to know what the hell you're even trying to say with that banner?
Yeah.
So their banners say, why are Jews allowed to suck baby penises? Which is kind of implying, like, why aren't we allowed to do it? I just think that messaging...
Why aren't we allowed to do it?
Why are they the only ones that are allowed to do that?
They're so privileged.
Yeah. And then going and holding up signs in front of Jewish centers. Like, why? What is the point of that? Are you not trying to wake up people? Why would you go and provoke Jews?
Have you ever seen the Jews who go spray paint swastikas on their doors?
I sure have.
It's kind of the same thing.
Like, see, every time they do activism, they came to Florida, they found a Chabad center or something, right? They went to Texas, they find another Jewish center, or they go to a Holocaust museum. So to me, it just sounds like you're trying to provoke. You're not actually trying to reach the people, your average person.
It gives the whole community something to rally behind and against.
And that's what they did. This organization called the White Rose or something like that, which is a name of a group on Telegram I've seen.
Well, that goes back to an anti-Nazi group. What's it, out of France?
Okay.
A resistance group. Remember also that girl who was
the cam girl?
Yeah, the cam girl.
It was so funny. There was this, real quick tangent, there was this YouTuber that went by the White Rose who would do videos about how pornography is evil and how, you know, she can actually help dudes overcome porn addiction. You just need to pay her. She ended up being a cam girl.
Yeah.
And was, like, actively doing the cam girl thing while putting out these videos against porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the White Rose, I guess, came after the GDL left the overpass and did their little activism thing. So I'm sure as soon as the GDL is gone, they're going to pass some legislation, just like they did when they left Florida. It's like clockwork. And, you know, apparently HT is banned from renting cars and his bank was shut down. So how the hell can this guy afford to make, like, 20 different t-shirts with his name on it, with all his cute little, you know, little designs and funny little things, and rent a van and fly and travel, pay for food, pay for lodging? I mean, if you fly and stay somewhere for a week, it's expensive.
Yeah.
How do they get these vans? Who's renting these vans?
I don't know. They got a little JDL army. So it's just, it's incredible too how they're not actually that heavily censored. For example.
No, they're on Twitter.
He was just interviewed on a YouTube channel. If either of us were to get interviewed on YouTube, that video would get taken down immediately.
Well, and the group that interviewed him, that, like, political something, I forget, with Britney, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They seem to do these big group discussions with types like Duvid the Rabbi. Now, why these Jew-woke, Jew-naming people would even entertain Duvid the Rabbi on a debate, I don't know. doesn't really make any sense. Oh yeah, here, Rabbi, come, let's give you a platform because you don't have anywhere else to spew your nonsense. You know, let's bring Duvid to our group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they also have this young, I guess he's just 19, who goes by Young Buck. Remember? We saw a tweet someone sent us, or I saw somewhere, and it was basically just, you know, sharing who this kid was, who his affiliations were, that, you know, he's affiliated with Patriot Front and some Vanguard 18 thing. And now all those Twitter accounts have been taken down. But this neo-Nazi guy's Twitter is still up.
So he was working with the GDL too?
Yeah, he goes by Prince of Terror.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the skull mask because, you know, you always want to associate your activism with terror and hate. That's why the GDL says donate to hate. If you want to donate to their Name the Nose tour, you're donating to hate. Oh, it's just tongue in cheek. It's just a joke. That's why they use the InfoWars fan club thing. It's just a joke. No, it's confusing the hell out of people. They're going to be like, InfoWars? What? Like, what?
Yeah.
And they're going to go to InfoWars. They're going to be all confused.
Yeah. So the people who are exposing this young guy, Young Buck, who calls himself a terrorist.
Prince of Terror.
Yeah. He calls himself a terrorist. He's allowed to stay on Twitter, but the people who are exposing him got banned.
Yeah.
It's obvious. It's obvious who is behind this.
The ADL. It's very, very obvious.
And also, tell what happened after you accidentally visited the Goyim TV site.
Kyle sent it. I did it again, accidentally. Kyle sent me a link, I forget, and I just clicked on it without even thinking, and it brought me to goyimtv.tv.
We don't visit because it's...
For a very specific,
it has malware.
It has malware, phishing.
Scans, yeah.
It's most likely getting all of your information, all your passwords. So I clicked on it. I think it was the next day. I get an alert on my phone that 27 of my passwords have been compromised, that I need to go in and change them. I constantly get notifications from my credit card company, too, that my information is being traded on the dark web. Like, I don't know how they know that. Like, mm-hmm. If you guys can monitor that, why don't you, like, take care of me, credit card company? But, yeah. So that was interesting timing. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go visit their thing, I guess use a VPN or something. I don't really know. Not like they can't get all of this stuff another way, but I wouldn't just go, like, inviting them into your home if you cannot do that. That would be good. But yeah, that was strange. That was strange. So yeah, this 19-year-old, I guess he is affiliated with Patriot Front. He used to do activism for Patriot Front. I was looking into Patriot Front because I don't even really understand what they stand for. It's very vague. They seem to be just like, I don't even know. What was that video
the propaganda?
Even about?
It wasn't explicitly pro-white. It was trying to be implicitly so,
I guess. But it
doesn't
make sense because all of their activism is just holding up a banner that says patriotfront.com or whatever, .us.
Yeah.
And then you go to the website, and I didn't spend too much time on there, but, like, what is it?
It's just generic and vague.
And vague. It uses, like, these vague things like, we have an enemy and we need to defeat them. Okay, well, who is the enemy? You can't win a war if you don't identify who the enemy is. It just seems like another... kind of black hole
a bunch of wasting time. A bunch of clips of people training outdoors together, which is good. It was kind of what the Rise Above movement was doing.
Yeah.
It's
only dudes training though. No women allowed.
But it's also, you know, really playing into this idea that you've got like a paramilitary militia group that is a bunch of white supremacist terrorists that's gonna, you know, come and try to kill everybody who's not white, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't go train. Definitely
right,
do,
train.
But I feel like this group is just being set up. You know, they were at Charlottesville, weren't they?
Pretty sure. I don't know if they actually
were. Were they at the January 6th?
Yeah, they were at. I think they were at the Capitol thing.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know. Maybe someone
who
can
frickin' knows.
Fill us in, but
I don't know.
I don't understand the activism. I don't understand holding up a banner that says the website, like. If you don't have a strong message, like, it would be cool if you had Hellstorm banners, like, visit the website, and then they click on it, and there's the film. Like, boom.
Mm-hmm.
That will tell you all you need to know, you know? I think it's interesting, too, these activists, which I'm fine with, because I don't want to be associated with these losers, but they always will promote Europa, the Last Battle, which has a very Christian slant, so I've heard. I haven't actually taken the 10 hours to sit there and watch it. Again, I don't think you need a 10-hour film to show you what's going on. It's not that... difficult once you understand World War II.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it.
Well, I want to thank you for stopping by, sharing what you've been looking into, and of course people need to go get their Heathen Herbs products. Ship them out as soon as possible. Got a lot of good stuff in stock. Any new ideas? Any new crazy concoctions? Nope. Some witches' brews?
Nope.
No? Well, we got plenty already.
Yeah, what? More than enough. Oh, well, I'm trying to advertise on Gab. I wanted to see if it would work. And so far, they haven't responded to my to my application. Because on Gab, there's all these different companies that are similar to mine, but they're all, like, Catholic and Christian-based.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a lot of them are marketing, like, hair loss treatments, which is just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to claim to regrow your hair. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen if you're losing your hair.
Make it thick. Luscious.
But I have a feeling they'll say no.
Oh, do check out the shampoo bar, though. I don't think enough people have tried the shampoo bar.
Especially if you have curly hair. Like, it works really, really well for Kyle's hair. For some people, you might want to do a vinegar wash after, especially if you have hard water. But it's like the perfect consistency for your hair.
Yeah. I like it. I like all the oils in it.
It smells really
feels
good.
Feels nice. Yeah. I don't need to condition afterwards.
Yeah, the shampoo bar is nice. It's hemp. It has so many oils. Hemp, olive, jojoba, avocado. No, does it have avocado? I don't think so. Lots of stuff. I can't even. Almond. Just a lot.
You got an eye cream if you're starting to get older and getting all stressed out sometimes like I do. You can throw on the eye cream, you know.
Yeah.
We got tinctures. We got colloidal silver spray. I like the colloidal copper face toner. A lot of people have really good responses regarding that product.
We have the skincare package too, so you can get a 2-ounce size of all of the skincare line at a reduced cost, so you can try it all together.
The face wash, that's a great one.
I use that every day.
Makes you feel
really
good.
Like the coffee scrub.
Mm-hmm.
I do that like once a week. You don't want to do too much exfoliating of your skin. You don't want to like leave yourself raw. But like a good once a week scrub. I use it on my body too. Mm-hmm. You know,
you got the clay mask in there, right?
Yep. Bentonite clay mask is intense. Like you can just feel it like sucking all the stuff out of your pores. It's intense. But afterwards, your skin feels so soft. It's really, really nice. So yeah, we have incense too. Our candles are awesome. I will have the Winter Wonderland candles available. Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Very good. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please do support the network. You can find the P.O. Box and the crypto wallets on the side of the site. I'll be back with you all again soon. Take care.
The Fed is sad with so much propaganda.